Good morning, everybody.
Thank you for joining us today. We want to encourage you guys to, you don't need to, but we want to encourage you to turn on your camera so we can see you guys, even though we're all in separate places. At least, you know, turn on your cameras and feel like we're a little bit more together during this time. We're going to be beginning our call to worship by reading the call to worship, rather, and Trevor will be doing that for us this morning. I'm going to hand it over to Trevor.
This is what the Lord says. The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The strong should not boast in his strength. The wealthy should not boast in his wealth. But the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things. This is the Lord's declaration.
Thank you, Trevor. Let's begin worshiping the Lord in song. I'm going to hand it over to Shin. It's glad to see her back again with us.
Back Thank in, you, Jonathan.
Okay.
Thank you. So, good morning, everyone. It's actually evening here. Ben's also in the UK right now, so it's evening for Ben too. So we're going to open the service with the song, The Cornerstone.
I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but only trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. Dressed in his righteousness alone, doubtless stand before the throne. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm,
we want to welcome everybody here today. And also we have a new visitor today, Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, thanks.
And so Jeff evidently drove by our church and found us, which is awesome. If you don't mind sharing, Jeff, are you currently a student or working?
I'm working.
Working, okay. And what do you do right now?
I'm in accounting and finance.
Oh, okay, finance.
Finance,
accountant,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
Yeah,
yeah, really welcome you to our church. Yeah,
yeah.
It's always good to see new adults to come and to join us. Yeah, and then yeah, we want to welcome you guys, everybody. I guess give a little quick clap.
Yeah,
normally we do more in-person clapping, but right now is what we got.
Okay,
and then later on we'll have some time to be able to catch up and sharing and to be able to talk a little bit more. But yeah, we're really excited that you could join us this morning.
Yeah, great to have you with us, Jeff.
And of course, everybody else is welcome too, not only Jeff. You guys are welcome as well. We're excited that you guys are here too. We're glad everybody's here. It's a beautiful, wonderful day to worship the Lord this morning and a beautiful day to celebrate and to think about what he's done. And I want to welcome you. Some people might be excited to worship God and some people maybe life isn't going so good. We talked about that recently. But you're still welcome to come and to celebrate, no matter what your state is, right? If it's really good and you're just riding high and life is amazing. And maybe if you're the opposite, maybe life just seems to be stomping on you and things feel terrible. Still come to Jesus. Give all your good to him and give all your bad to him too. And so we want to welcome everybody here today. And we hope that you can honestly be able to worship the Lord and to be able to honestly come to Jesus, right? Because God doesn't want people that fake it. God doesn't want people that pretend. God knows our hearts. And so as we sing these songs, as we listen to the message, as we read these scripture verses, wherever you're at, I want you to approach God in these times. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to worship you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to save us from our sins and to give us new life. We know that no matter what happens on earth, we have an eternal life with you. We have a life of just a perfect life with you waiting on the other side. In the meantime, too, we have your peace and your love and your kindness in our lives this very moment as well. Help us to be able to experience your grace and mercy in our daily lives. We also thank you, Lord, for a new visitor today, Jeff. And we thank you for all those who come as well. Help us to be able to approach you and to celebrate you, Lord, no matter where we're at in our lives right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, Ben Cardoen will be reading the scripture passage today. So I'm going to hand it over to Ben.
Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you, Ben. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's continue worshiping in song. I'm going to hand it back over to Shannon.
Thank you. So the next song we'll sing is Be Thou My Vision. The text for this song is actually really, really old. The poet who wrote this song lived in Ireland in 500. So that's about, is it like 1,500 years ago? But then I think it's amazing that the lyrics are still very much relevant today. Then I think about all the Christians who, with whom, you know, we share these prayers and songs together over millennia. Although each of us had, everybody had different lives and lived in different times and different places, these songs that we share, and then they all mean very personally to us in our relationship with God and in our faith and belief. So let's worship God together with this song. Dear Heavenly Father, from the song that we just sang, we can imagine the poet from 1,500 years ago confessing that you are the heart of his heart, and then really all in all in his life. Lord, I pray that we'll really genuinely share his confession from thousands of years ago. That you will be our vision and our wisdom instead of us chasing this temporary riches and glory of this world. So Lord, I pray that you will constantly change us, transform our hearts, open our hearts today as we listen to the sermon. I pray that we will be humble to hear your voice and to really rely on your guidance and then your unchanging and overwhelming love for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
So again, welcome everybody joining us this morning. How many guys have seen this video clip or GIF or something? It's like this little Chinese kid, and he's like, all the other kids are studying his book, and then like he's just kind of like scooping up the words and then putting it in his brain. I don't know how effective this is, but how many of you guys felt like you wanted to do this in school? All right, I finished grad school like a little over 11 years ago, but I feel like there's a lot of times when I was in school, elementary, middle, high school, university, and grad school, where like, I got to read all these pages. I wish I could just scoop up the knowledge in these pages and put it in my head. I have no idea if this is effective. I would imagine probably not. But when I was growing up, I didn't do a lot of reading. I'm sure a lot of you guys had to do a lot of reading, whether you grew up in Taiwan or China or Canada or, for me, the States. I'm sure you had to do a lot of reading in school and always wanting to kind of read faster. And I remember years ago, my mom bought me the Evelyn Wood 7-day speed reading and learning program. It turns out that there's a lot of debate and people think it's kind of a scam. And I felt there's something weird about this book. Anyhow, the strategy by this lady named Evelyn Wood was like, I think it was this copy of this book, but I was like reading it. It's like, yeah, if you use this technique, you can read thousands of words per minute. I think the average adult reads maybe 200 or so words per minute or something like that, 200 to 400. But like, you can read 10,000 words per minute. And there's all these testimonials of people like reading a book in an hour, like a huge chunky book in an hour. You just pew, 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 pew. And if you follow this process, you'll be able to read thousands and thousands of words per minute. And I remember like the technique, one of the early things on, I think it was in this book, was controlling your eye movement. Because a lot of times when people read, like you don't actually read straight through. A lot of times you'll read a little and your eye kind of jumps back or jumps back and jumps back and your eyes don't really read that study. So the book was like, take your finger and just follow your finger across the page in smooth movements. It's like, okay, I can do that. That helped me read faster over time. Another technique was batching. Instead of reading each individual word, right? The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy brown dog. Be like, the quick fox jumped over the lazy, you know, like, so you kind of read a couple words at a time. So your eye kind of, you're not focusing on each individual word, just focusing in the middle and catching these couple words on each chunk. Okay, I learned to do that. That helped me out. And the next one is like, get bigger chunks. And eventually, like, I stopped doing this after, like, it's like, divide the page into a quarter and just look at the quarter and absorb the whole quarter of the page at once. And then look at this quarter and absorb it at once. And then this and this. I was like, okay, I can't do that. Right? I stopped reading this book after like a few days. But my issue was like, yeah, I mean, I could read it super fast. If I see a huge chunk of words, I can read it super fast, right? I could read it super fast, but what's the problem? I have no idea what the heck I just read, right? So there's a certain point where like, yes, my eyes can follow words, but like my brain can't keep up. And so that's when I stopped reading this book. I never finished it. And that seems to be a big issue. I read a lot of articles about this system and a lot of people criticize it saying, yeah, these people say they can read super fast, but when they're tested on what they read, at best, they just have a really overall superficial view. There was even a test where people said that, yes, we use a system and read the whole book and we understand everything. And they compared it to people that just skimmed some material, right? When you skim, you're just kind of like flying over, maybe picking out some keywords and that's about it. And the people that just kind of like, okay, keyword, 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 they actually did better or about the same as the people that went through the speed reading course. And so there's all these people that are like speed reading these books like crazy, but like, it's just leaking out of their brain, right? And so a lot of people criticize the system like, yeah, you read really fast, but you're not getting it. And you kind of miss the point, right? Like, for example, if you're reading a novel or something, let's say you're reading your Harry Potter or something, right? Like, imagine kind of skipping through and like you have don't really know what the heck is going on. Harry did something and Dumbledore did something. I don't really know. You're missing out on the book, right? You're not processing the emotional journey of it. I never read any of the books. I'm assuming there's an emotional journey, right? But you're not processing the journey of these characters because you're just flying right through it. And it kind of misses the point. What's the point of reading a book about characters if you have no idea what the characters do? Or imagine reading like a book about learning. Let's say you're learning how to win friends and influence people. You're learning your textbook and you just fly through the book. I mean, yeah, you read it technically, but did you really absorb the information? And if you didn't, well, what's the point, right? And so for me, like this speed reading course, I'm like, yeah, I can't. I think it increased my capability of reading by a significant amount, but I hit that cap where like, I need to slow down because I need to process. And even now when I read books, some books I can read relatively quickly, right? If it's like a fun fictional book, like Ben got Mitzi World War Z and I read that book and it was really easy and quick to read. It was fun. But certain books that are deeper, I'm like, okay, I need to pause and think about this, right? I can't just blow right through it. Otherwise, I'm totally missing the point. And a thought occurred to me too. I think sometimes maybe when we read the Bible, it's a little like that too. How many of you guys have just kind of read the Bible and boom, 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 I'm done. But you didn't really take time to really process it, to chew it over, to really think about what the words mean. What is the purpose of this Bible book? What are the themes? What are the directions? What is God wanting you to learn? And I think, too, when I grew up, I used to read a lot of Bible, too. I used to have this old little King James Version, and I remember reading it a bunch for Sunday school. I remember my parents had me sit down and read through the Book of Kings or something in one summer or something like that, right? Or reading through a bunch of Proverbs. And I remember, like, just sitting there, and I'm like, we're done. But I never really sat there and thought about what did I just really read. And I think, again, that also misses the point. What's the purpose? What's the purpose if I read through these Bible passages but never really think about what they mean, what they're about, what the direction is, what does God want me to learn? And I would imagine a lot of us are guilty of that. Sometimes I'm a little guilty of that too. Sometimes in my morning when I do my Bible reading, I'm just like, okay, I'm done. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I should take a moment to really process and think about what I just read. In today's passage, John tells us the purpose of his book. As you guys hopefully remember, we've been going through the Gospel of John. Today is our last Sunday going through the Gospel of John. And at the end of this book, John tells us why he wrote the book. Right? Sometimes you read a book about, like, you know, you're reading this book to help you with your business acumen, right? You're reading this book to help you learn science. You're reading this book to help you learn whatever. And so in the book of John, John tells us, why did he write this book? Why does he want you to read it? What does he want people to get out of it? And so in John's book, he tells us, first, he says in John 20, verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. So John tells us, look, man, like I wrote a lot of stuff about Jesus in the past, you know, the rest of the book earlier. But there's a lot of signs that I didn't put. Right? There's a lot of miracles, a lot of things that Jesus did I didn't put in this book. Also, too, note that when John doesn't use the word miracles here, he uses the word signs. For John, whenever Jesus does a miracle, whenever he heals somebody, when he turns water to wine, when he walks on the water, those are all signs. Meaning that they're not just a miracle to do miracle, rather they're a sign pointing to some deeper truth. So John says, look, Jesus did a ton of miracles that point to something deeper that I did not include. But he says, but these are written so that you may believe. So John tells us the purpose of him writing this gospel is so that you may believe, you, the reader. One of the things that's interesting too, one of the most common theological words, let's say, in the book of John is believe. Like, here is the book of John. I know it's tiny text. You're not going to read everything. But see all those little red lines, right? So I took the whole book of John. I made the font super small. But I changed the color of the word believe or believer, something related to belief. And I colored it red. And you could see throughout the entire book of John, the word, the idea of believing is all over the place. There are those who believe in Jesus, the people that don't believe in Jesus, the people that partially believe in Jesus. It's one of John's most common themes, other than love, is belief. And so John is saying, look, I wrote this gospel. I wrote all this stuff about Jesus. It's not just a fun story. It's not a wacky legend. It's not just something to learn about and become a good moral person. I wrote this book so that you may believe. How many of us read our Bibles with that idea? Assuming you're, let's say you're a Christian. How many of you read your Bibles with the idea of how can I believe more about God? Or how can I strengthen my belief? We'll talk about that in a little bit. How many of us instead maybe read our Bibles just to learn a little moral tidbit? How to be a good person? How to become a good husband? How to become a good business person? How to be a good person, right? That's not the goal of the Bible. The goal of the Bible, not just John, but the Bible itself, is to help us to believe in God. And if you're not a Christian, maybe you're not a believer, but you visit church with us, you kind of like want to see what's going on. Maybe for you, the Bible is also like sort of a source of kernels of wisdom. Maybe it's just a source of interesting philosophy or interesting history. And maybe you don't believe. I want to encourage you as you read your Bibles to think through it. Again, we're going to talk about it in a few moments. But to go beyond that, instead of reading it as just a little bit of tidbits or neat knowledge, but rather something that might be deeper. As we see in John's verse, right? But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that, by believing, you may have life in his name. And we see that John's thesis of the book, that there is a progression, right? I wrote these things so that you may believe. And then, of course, there are certain things, we'll talk about that. And then, oh, my bad. Let's go. There we go. Let me just erase that part. And so as you believe these things, the result is that, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And so we see this progression. John wrote these things so that you will read it, so that you will believe it, and so that you will live. And so there is a purpose, there is a function to this passage. And the question is, I want to ask you guys, of course, I'm asking myself as well, how often when we read the Bible, do we think about it this way? I want to read my Bible, whether it be a whole chapter, whether it be just a few verses, whether you're doing your daily devotional or just looking up something. How many of you think about it this way? I want to read so that I can believe and then I can live, have life in Jesus' name. So this is going to be a little more academic. I try to change up my sermons every now and then. Some of them are kind of more, maybe not emotional is the right word, but kind of like a little this style, a little that style. So today's going to be a little more academic-y. So hopefully you guys can stick around. But the idea of believing is faith, right? When we believe in somebody or something, it means we have faith in them. In Greek, it's the same word, pisteo, or pistis for the noun for faith. And so the idea for John is that I want you to have faith in Jesus. I want you to believe in Jesus and have faith in him and what he did. And faith, the reformers had this idea of faith. In order to have faith in something, you need three separate components. The first is knowledge. You need to know what the heck you're having faith in, right? Like if just some random person goes up to you and says, hey, do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Like, no, I don't even know who you are. Go away, right? Like, who are you? And so in order to have faith, you need to know something. What are you having faith about? What are the claims? What are the things? And secondly, there needs to be an affirmation. I need to affirm it. I need to agree with it. I need to say, yes, I believe this is true. And of course, we'll talk a little more details about this, but I think this makes a big difference. For some Christians, right, we kind of know some knowledge. We know that Jesus is special. We know that Jesus died on the cross. We know that Jesus is something. But then do we affirm it? Do we really say, yes, this is actually true? Or do we just read it as another fact? Like, for example, right, I enjoy looking at old legends and old stories. Again, I guess I got to bring up Ben Cardone as well. He gave me a book of Norse mythology for my birthday, which is really fun to read about these stories of these like frost giants and Thor going on wacky adventures with Loki and all that stuff. So for me, like, I had knowledge of these Norse stories, right? I know that Thor has these two boars and he can eat them and kill them and they reborn and whatever, whatever. But like, when it comes to affirmation, I don't believe it's true, right? Like, I know this stuff, but it's not like I like, yes, I agree, this is real, right? There's a Midgard serpent running around somewhere, you know, like, I don't, it's just a story. So maybe for some of you, when you guys read the Bible, you're stuck in the notitia. You just kind of know what the Bible says, but you're not really affirming. Or maybe some of you do affirm and say, yes, Jesus is this and this. But your issue is trust. How do you really put your life in Jesus? How do you really trust him? How do you change the way you live for God? And as we go through this, I just want us to think, like, what area do you think you're stuck in? Because realize, too, if you just have two, but not the, like, if you have just missing some of this, you can't really have faith, can you? If you don't really know who Jesus is and what he did, how can you believe in him? You don't need to know every single thing about him, but if you don't really know, what is there to believe in? Or maybe you have the knowledge, but you don't really affirm it in your life. You don't really go, yes, I believe this is real. And you can't have faith, right? If you don't really affirm that it's real. And lastly, if you don't really trust Jesus with your life and live accordingly, then do you really have faith? Do you just say, yes, I believe in it, but I don't really do anything to demonstrate that belief? Like, for example, right, in today's passage. Oh, sorry. John says that so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Right? So his thesis of the belief, like, what is your notitia? What is the thing that he really wants you to know about Jesus? Is that he's the Messiah, the Son of God. Messiah. So in Hebrew, there's a word Mashiach, which means the anointed one or anointed. And the anointed one is the one that God has chosen for some special purpose. And in the Old Testament, there were multiple people that were anointed. Like, they would pour the oil and that oil would symbolize this is God's special person. Sometimes these messiahs, these Mashiachs, were prophets. Sometimes they were kings. Sometimes they were just certain special people for special jobs. But then in the Old Testament time, God promised that there would be a special Mashiach, a special anointed one, who's going to do something even more special than everybody else. And for the Greek version of the word Mashiach is the word Christos, where we get the word Christ. So when we say Jesus Christ, Christ isn't Jesus's name, but rather kind of a title or who he is. Jesus is God's chosen one for something special. And not only is Jesus somebody special for God's purpose, he's also the Son of God, meaning that he is also deity too. I think of it this way, right? If somebody says, like, my father is a bear, then that person is likely a bear too, which you probably wonder, why are they talking, right? If my parents are both ethnically Taiwanese, then I'm also ethnically Taiwanese as well. So when Jesus says that he is the Son of God, well, his Father is deity, therefore he must be deity as well. And so the two truth claims that John wants us to believe is that Jesus came to save the people. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And that too, Jesus isn't human. He isn't only human, rather. Even though Jesus took on a human body, he is also divine. He is also God. And we see this theme throughout John's gospel. Like in John 1, 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John uses the word, the Word, to describe Jesus. And then we see that Jesus was from the beginning, he was with God, and he was also God. And that Jesus also created everything. All things are created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. And that in Jesus was life. So we see this thing, right? Jesus is the Messiah coming to give life to the people. And that Jesus is divine. We see that in John 3:16 through 18. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his own one and only Son, right? The Son of God. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came to save people and give them life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Believe. Later on, too, Simon Peter asked Jesus, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Right? We see this theme throughout the book of John. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Again, Jesus brings life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then Mary tells him, yes, Lord. She told him, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into this world. We're not going to go through all the details, but you see this theme over and over and over and over and over again in John. Jesus is coming here to save us, and that he is more than just a human being. He is also divine. And of course, I could give a lot more passages, but that's just a little sample. As you guys study the Bible and let's just say the Gospel of John, with the idea of faith, where are you in faith? Right, if I were to ask you, do you believe in Jesus? And I were to say, do you have knowledge about who Jesus is? Would you be able to explain and share to me why Jesus came and what Jesus came to do? Like for me, when I grew up in the church, I knew a lot of scattered knowledge. I knew a lot of Bible stories. But if you were to really ask me to explain what I believe, I don't know if I could. I had all these kind of miscellaneous stories in my head. But if you were to ask me to share the story of Jesus to somebody, I don't know. And again, I might know the stories, the superficial kind of thing, but I didn't really know the purpose. And I didn't really know how everything fits together. Noticia, maybe that's where you're at right now. If that's the case, I want to encourage you to read your Bibles. Spend time in the Word of God. And if things are hard, it's okay. You can ask me. For some of the younger folk, you have parents that also study the Bible. You can ask your mom or dad for help in those areas too. And if you need a little more help, I can give you certain online resources to help you have that knowledge. But if you want to have faith and trust in Jesus, you're going to need to know what Jesus did. So, Noticia, is that where you're at? Do you need to learn more? Maybe you've never studied your Bible. You've never looked at those things. I think it'd be a great time to start. Again, like we just finished the book of John in our Word Go study group and in sermon series, but you can always pick it up right there. Maybe you're in the second category. You're stuck in fiducia. You affirm things. Maybe you just kind of say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but you never really thought about what you're affirming. In a way, it's kind of like those agreements that you have to sign, right? If you do a certain service or purchase certain things, right? There's a list of I agree to this and this and this and this and this and this. You're like, yeah, whatever, check. Right? How many of you guys are guilty of doing that? Right? I don't think any of us have really read through an entire service agreement. Right? Did you ever read through the entire service agreement for your phone service plan or cable, or if you ever purchased anything? Right? I just, right? Whenever there's a long one, I'm like, what does this say? Should I sign it? Okay, sure, whatever, check. I don't really look at all the details. And I think sometimes with Christianity, we're a little like that. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, check, 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 whatever, whatever. Like, we don't really look at the fine print. We don't really look at the details. Maybe that's where you're at. You've kind of read the stories, but you've never really thought of the implications, right? Because the fine print usually has some implications. You're locked into a two-year plan. Hey, that means if I want to switch provider, I got to pay a big fee, right? There's an implication to that. And a lot of times we read through the Bible and we just skim over those things and we miss important implications. So maybe for you, you do read the Bible. You do have some Bible knowledge. Maybe what you need to do is slow down. After you read it, chew it through. What does this really mean? And maybe you're in the third category. You understand what it means. You understand what you're supposed to do. You understand, but you don't really put it into practice. For you, right? You have all this knowledge. You know what it's about. You can explain it to other people, but you don't really do it. For example, let's take an example. Right? John's goal is to share that Jesus is the Messiah. Throughout this book, Jesus is coming to save people from their sins, right? The people in Israel were under oppression by the Roman government. And so the people wanted political freedom, but Jesus is saying, no, you're under slavery to sin. That is your problem, not this other thing. And so let's think about that, right? Let's think about some knowledge. So we know that all people are born naturally sinful. We're all inclined to do sin. Right? I don't think anybody needs to teach us how to be bad or to be bad. It's a natural inclination. We're naturally selfish. We naturally do things we're not supposed to do. We naturally want to push that button when people tell us not to push that button. Right? And we know that sin is anything that goes against God's law. God is the one that created the universe and has certain, there's a right way to do things. And God's law is good. Right? It's good that we don't lie to people. It's good that we don't say things to hurt people. It's good that we're not selfish. It's good that we celebrate the one who created us instead of celebrating all sorts of silly nonsense. And so because we naturally turn from God, we naturally do things that God doesn't want us to do. We naturally do things that are bad for ourselves and other people. We're sinners. And then we know that God will judge mankind. We break the law. What happens when you break the law? There is a punishment, right? It doesn't take a genius to see that if I break the law on the road, RCMP is going to arrest me. If I do certain things to harm other people, there's a good potential I'm going to get arrested. The law is there to protect people and judge people for their crimes. So when I sin against God, God will judge. But we know that Jesus came to save us. And that Jesus came to die on the cross and take on our punishment. That if we believe and put our trust in Jesus to say, look, I know what I've done is wrong, but Jesus has taken on my punishment and offers me forgiveness. Do I trust in him to do this for me? And again, let's look at some implications, and that's kind of a high level thing. But I want us to consider some implications. Let's say with sin, right? We know that sin is bad and that, yeah, it hurts us and it hurts others and God will punish that. We know that Jesus died because we'd perform sins, right? So maybe that's your acknowledgement, right? There's sin. You have sin. We all have sin, etc. And your affirmation is sin equals bad. And then Jesus saved us from our sins. Do you trust in Jesus to help you with your sins? I've shared this story before. I know this one woman years ago. I remember she shared, like, I'm just like that. It's just the way God made me. There's certain ways that she talked that she knew was wrong. But then she believed that God didn't need to change her. She didn't need to be different because that's just how God made her. And I realized that there is a problem. She knew that certain ways that she did was sin. She knew the certain way she talked was bad, right? So she knew about sin and she affirmed and she agreed that, yes, the way that she talked was bad. But did she trust in God and want to change? So I think somewhere along this line, she kind of went missing. How many of us say that we're Christian and we do things that we know we're not supposed to do, yet we just kind of keep doing it? And the question is, do we really trust in Jesus? And I'm not saying like all of us are going to struggle with stuff, but I think a lot of us have sins that we're just okay with, right? There are people that kind of talk in a very caustic and rude way. And they're like, I just say it like it is, even if it rubs people the wrong way. That's a sin. Maybe for some people, we're tempted by pornography and lust. And then we just kind of let it go. And just kind of like, it's okay if I watch that stuff. It's okay if I think those sexual thoughts. It's okay. Right? There is that breakdown somewhere. Maybe for some of us, we prioritize other things over God all the time. We're so hungry and eager to go, you know, I don't know, play Valorant. I don't know how many of you, the youth will say like, yeah, I don't have time to play Valorant. I'm just reading my Bible all day. How many of us the other way around, right? Imagine if you read your Bible as much as you played Valorant. Right? We say that's Jesus is the Son of God. He's the creator. He's the one that made me. But we spend so much time eagerly playing a video game, which I love video games, but like, right? Jesus is God. And then like, do you agree that Jesus is God, right? That you can spend time with God, but then like, do you really spend time with God? And again, like some of us, right, we've read these passages a million times, and in our heads, we know these facts. And then we might even say, yes, I agree. But like our actions, do we really believe? James, the book of James says that faith without works is dead. If we say that we believe something, but our actions show the opposite, do we really believe in it? Or for example, let's just say the sin, right? Jesus equals the Messiah. Jesus is the one that came to save us from our sins. And so that we would probably say yes. We would say, yes, Jesus saves me from our sins. But when you do bad, what do you do? When you do harm other people, when you do open up those web browsers and go to certain websites you're not supposed to do, right? When you do say certain things that are selfish or harmful to other people, what's your response? Do you run to Jesus to ask for forgiveness? Do you run to Jesus to help him, help you with your sins? Do you say, Jesus, I'm so sorry that I did that. I want to ask you to forgive me for this thing and also help me to get out of this. Or do some of us maybe run to other things? We feel shame and we run off to go hide from God. Or we run off to hide from other people. We end up running off to distract ourselves because we're ashamed of what we did. Instead, do we run to Jesus because he's the one that saved you? And he's the one that can continue to save you. He's the one that can bring you help. I want you to really think, where do you break down here? And again, for some of you, you have no idea what the heck the Bible says. You have no idea what is going on in the Bible. Start learning. Start reading. Start growing, right? You can't believe in Jesus if you have no idea who Jesus is, if you don't know what he did. And of course, right, if you really want a crash course, I encourage you to talk to other Christians. Hopefully they can tell you something. You don't need to start at square one, but you can ask other Christians to kind of give you an idea of what we believe. Knowledge. Knowledge. Anyhow. Affirmation, right? When you read your Bible, what are the implications? What does this mean? Like, for example, Mitzi and I are going through Beatitude course with Chris, the Ivy, and I appreciate it. It's like a long 2-hour block. I wish we could do more of that weekly 2-hour block with assignments. But it's really good with affirmation. Like, well, what does it mean? What are we agreeing to? Like, for example, the first session that we had was about mercy. I think we can all say, like, yes, blessed are the merciful, but do you really have mercy? What does that mean? That means that there's somebody in your life that really, you just want to punch him in the face. You need to affirm that God gave you mercy. God didn't punch you in the face for being wrong. You need to not do that same with other people too. Or we went through, blessed are the peacemakers, right? That Jesus came to make peace with the world. And therefore, if you have beef with other people in the world, you need to do your part to also make peace too. You can't be causing ruckus and causing beef with other people. Jesus made peace, and then you also make peace as well. I think, again, a lot of times that there's that breakdown. You have that knowledge, but we don't think about the implications. What do we do? And I want to encourage you, when you read your Bible, think about the implications. If this is true, what are the implications? At the beginning, it might be really hard for you. It might be hard to, like, where is this going? I don't really get how this applies. But keep at it. Keep practicing. You can ask other Christians to help you see the implications. So that when you say, yes, I believe in this stuff, you know what you're believing in. And then lastly, too, right? Maybe your thing is trust. Maybe you just need to take that step. Right? Like, for example, the peacemaker one was go and talk to people that you might have beef with. Take that step. Don't just say, yes, I know that Jesus wants to be a peacemaker. Ask Jesus to help you and work in you and go reach out to those people. Take those steps. Maybe you're struggling again with lust or pornography. You're struggling with saying certain things that harm other people or are hurtful. You're struggling with prioritizing your time with God. You're struggling with whatever. Go to God. Take that step. Ask God for help. Ask him to work in you. If he is the Messiah, if he is the Son of God, then ask him to help you. Go to him. Don't just think about it. Do it. And this applies, of course, to so many things, not just this passage, but faith in general. And I want to encourage you guys, like, whatever you read, whatever you study, start learning wherever you're at. If you're already reading, already growing, keep reading. There's always more. God's word is so rich. It's like a huge reservoir that you're never going to really fully tap. So maybe you don't know what you're doing. Start learning. Start reading. Start learning what God wants you to do. Maybe fiducia, right? You don't really know what to affirm. You don't know what to believe. Do you need to slow down and think about what you're reading? Really slow down. Really chew it over. And think, what are the implications if this is true? And I've told you, right? There's a lot of Christian friends I had as well. They said they're Christian, right? But they live a life as if God doesn't exist. I don't think they've really thought the implications of what if this whole thing is true? What if they are sinful and they have sin? What if God will come and judge people for their sin someday? And what if they don't have Jesus's love and forgiveness on that final day? Maybe your implication is, what if God is loving, right? You worry so much that God is about laws and rules and Maybe you need to think about the implication. What if Jesus really does love you? What if Jesus really died for your sins? You've heard the story about the cross 100 times. But what if Jesus loved you so much that he died for your sins to forgive you? What if that's true? What if Jesus is waiting for you? Just excited to see you come in and talk to him. What are the implications? What are the implications of the fact that we cannot save ourselves, right? Jesus is the one that saves us. What if we can't save ourselves? What if we know we struggle with sin and we know that we cannot fix our problems? Only Jesus can. What's the implication? So maybe for you, you read your Bible, right? I've heard some different people saying, yeah, I'm reading through this book, reading through this book. I really want to encourage you, slow down and think about what you're reading. You don't need to read 2 chapters a day or whatever. whatever you read, make sure you process and think about it. And also think about, what if this is true? How does that impact your life? And lastly, what do you need to do to act on your beliefs? What do you need to do to make it real? Right? Maybe for some of you, it is to actually to go to Jesus for the first time in your life and ask him for forgiveness. Maybe your action is to go to Jesus for forgiveness now. Maybe your action is, I need to go tell other people about this Jesus guy. What do you need to do to act on your beliefs? I recently saw this quote by Tim Keller. I think he's given some variations of this in a book and also on his Twitter. But he said, we want Jesus as a consultant rather than king. And I think that's where a lot of times the actions break down. We come to the Bible and we read about what Jesus says, and we act as if he's a consultant. Right? A consultant is something like, hey, I want to make this better. So maybe I invite another company, a consulting company, to come, and they check out my books, they check out my operations, they check out stuff, and they'd be like, they might make recommendations. Hey, this system is outdated, you should update it. Or maybe, hey, your company is a little inefficient in this area, you can do this to make it better, or whatever. But by the end of the day, they're just consulting. They're just giving you advice. And I can say, thank you. And I can like decide whether I want to do what they suggested or not. And sometimes we feel that way with Jesus, right? We read through the Bible, we go, thank you for the suggestion, Jesus. I'll take that in consideration. Right? You ever heard somebody say that? You know they're saying no. Thank you. I'll take that under consideration. You're like, oh, you're not. You're just saying that. And sometimes we do that with Jesus, right? Yes. Yes. Like, I don't know. Let's say your pet sin, whatever it is, whatever you struggle with. Yes. Jesus is God, and I should probably spend time with God. That's a good suggestion, but I'll take it under consideration. Thank you. Or do we see him as a consultant, as just somebody who gives advice that we can take or leave? Or do we see Jesus as the King, the Son of God, the creator of the universe? We don't get to decide what we want to do or what we don't want to do. He's the king. And so I think that kind of reflects in our beliefs. There's a lot of things we read, a lot of things we learn, but do we do it? Do we say, look, I need to read my Bible. I need to pray to God because he is God. I need to spend time caring for other people. I need to do this. Is that just a suggestion, or do we really believe, yes, Jesus is king? And of course, yeah, like I want to make sure that it's not like works-based salvation where it's like, I have to do this. But rather, this is all because Jesus gives us love and grace and mercy. We get to do those things. We get to pray to Jesus. We get to spend time reading his word. We get to go to him when we sin. We get to have forgiveness. We get to share his word with other people. We get to come and worship together. Because not only the king tells us to do it, it's an amazing privilege. It is an amazing privilege by Jesus. So where are you? Notitia, fiducia, census, knowledge, affirmation, or trust? Where are you, and what do you need to do? As we sing this response song, I want you to consider where you're at and what you need to do. And again, if you have any questions, if you're really confused, you could talk to me or hopefully one of the other believers here as well. And it's a journey, it's a walk. So don't be discouraged if you're like, oh no, I can't do this, game over. It's a journey. Again, I shared earlier on, I stumbled in all three of these areas and I've messed up so much, I've probably invented a new area to mess up in, right? But there is hope. There is a chance to step up and grow and to learn. So as we begin singing the song, question yourself, where are you? I'm going to hand it back over to Shin for closing worship.
Thank you, Jonathan. Wonderful sermon. And it reminds me how important it is for us to really be surrendered to God. Not in the sense, you know, we fear his judgment or anger that we surrender ourselves, but then we surrender because we know that he knows us completely, wherever we are at this point in our lives. And then he also loves us completely. So then he's always inviting us to join him in this wonderful richness of spiritual life and relationship with the creator of the universe. So let us respond in song. titled Lead Me to the Cross.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. My ransom, everything I was held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love for
we're going to take a little moment of silence for about a minute. And let's spend some time in quiet meditation. Do you need to start learning God's word? Or do you need to think about what you're learning? Or do you need to act on your beliefs? I don't know where everybody is. Everybody's a different place. That's something that you need to work out for yourself. So I'm going to encourage you to do this and take a few moments. Let's spend a moment of silence. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word so that we can learn about you. And we thank you, Lord, also living in a modern age where all of us can get a copy of the Bible on our phones and anywhere we want. I pray that we spend time learning your word and reading it. But I pray that we don't just speed read through it, but really spend time to chew it over, to process and to think. And I pray that as we really process your word, that your Holy Spirit can work in us, so that we can understand the true, deeper meanings. And as we learn and grow with that, Lord, I pray that we take that step of belief and faith and really trust in you and live it out. I think all of us here are in different stages in our lives and in our faith as well. You know wherever we're at, Lord. So I pray that you meet us wherever we're at and encourage us and to build us up and to speak to us and reach out to us wherever we're at so that we can move forward and believe in you. Help us to really enjoy spending time with you and growing so that we can experience life from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to hand it over to Cindy for some announcements.
Okay, so we have a few announcements. Here is going to be the schedule for the next couple weeks. This Saturday we will be having the youth fellowship in the morning, so you can make note of that. That's this Saturday. For our English worship next week, we are not sure yet if we will be online or in person, but Jonathan will be reaching out to everybody about that this week by Thursday, because I think the new restrictions or regulations are coming out on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that to hear from Jonathan about our service next Sunday. And then we will still have online, though, for next week. Even if we are able to go back in person, it'll still be a hybrid thing there. So, yeah, and then the week after that, we'll have Word Go Sharing, Adult Fellowship, and continuing with Sunday service. Okay, so again, we have different ways of being involved on the Sunday morning. And I was just really encouraged this morning before service started. We had like a small group of people preparing for the Sunday service. I was really thankful to see that because it made me think about like a few weeks ago, I had like this thing wrapped around my right arm and I couldn't use it for 2 days. And I was already complaining because I could only use my left arm. So it just made me think about how beautiful it is to be able to have function of the whole body. And that's us, that's we're the body of Christ. So it'd be so beautiful to have all of us involved in some way, which I know all of us, a lot of us are eager to do. So these are some of the ways to do that. And then again, we have prayer meeting before our service at 10:15. So again, an invitation to anyone who can sign on a little bit earlier, just to come and just prepare our hearts for the service. Okay, next slide. Okay, so yeah, for anyone who's been thinking, you guys have heard us talk about Word Go for a long time. Anyone who's had that thought cross their mind, now is such a great time to join, because we're just switching the series. We've been working through John for half a year now, I think. So the next study that we're doing is on the book of Joshua, and it's a much shorter study compared to the John one. So for the next 6 weeks, we'll be going through it. But I just want to point out that it's super accessible, because it's right on our phones, and sometimes during commute or walking, I'll be listening or reading through it. So yeah, if you guys are interested, message Jonathan. You know what I would do? I would probably message Jonathan right after service, or even now, in case we forget. So go do that, and yeah, we look forward to, I think, just learning from each other. I think that, yeah, we look forward to learning from you. So please join us. That'd be so much fun.
Yeah, I would encourage you guys, to join the Word Go group. Even for me, I went to seminary, did all that stuff, but God can still work through other people, right? The idea is that God can work through the Word as you read, and that God can speak to you through those things. And I think I've really enjoyed a lot of sharing from other people as well, as they shared about what God is doing in their hearts as they're reading and learning. And also like we talked about today's sermon, right? Sometimes people have questions like, what do I do with it? Or I don't get it. Word Go is a time to be able to help us to share and discuss together, to help us to kind of how can we move forward? What are we getting stuck at? And to be able to encourage each other to kind of move together. Yeah. So I want to encourage you guys to join. And you guys don't have to be locked in for the whole series. You guys can just try for a few days. If it's not for you, you can always step out. We're not going to condemn you or shun you. It's okay. Right? Not everybody needs to do this, but it's an option. I just want you to consider that. Another quick thing as well. The Chinese government has been cracking down on Christian communications recently, a lot more than, I guess, in the past. And starting March 1st, they're going to be cracking down on people using WeChat as a Christian platform. So our church is moving off of WeChat. Some people use Line, some people use WeChat, and WeChat was kind of the big one for the Chinese congregation. So they're moving from that onto Line as the big communication. So we're going to probably have to do that as well. We don't want to get anybody in trouble, right? Some people go back to China or other things. We don't want to get anybody in trouble. So we're moving everything to Line. Likely, if we communicate in other things, that's fine. But we're going to stop using WeChat to talk about church stuff. Yeah. And something we like to do is, if you guys are inclined to do it, to make a big Line group. On the Chinese side, there's a big WeChat group of 90-something people. But that's an easy way to share information and to be able to talk and discuss. So we like to do that with Line as well. Yeah, so if you're interested in that, let me know, and we can form a group to be able to share and discuss things as well. Yeah, and again, if you don't, there's still email and other ways to communicate, but it's kind of easier to consolidate. Yeah, so I want to give you guys a heads up with that. And so we're going to break up into sharing and catch-up time. The two questions are going to be, how will you commit to growing your faith? Or what's a highlight of your week? Yeah, for this. So if you don't have anything to really share, you don't know what to say, you can just share a highlight, right? What did you enjoy this week? No pressure. And we've already made the breakout room, so we're going to...
Oh, before that, can somebody type in the questions? get a person to do it.
Which beaver is the eagerest?
Eager beaver. we'll get
Shin.
Okay. Yeah, just to type in, how will you commit growing your faith?
Yeah.
Or what's the highlight of your week? And meanwhile, you can think about it.
Okay.
Okay, Eno is doing that.
Okay. We're going to open up the rooms, and we could probably, about 12:05, about 20 minutes to share.